Missed me, baby? Greedy for it? Good. I'm greedy, too.
His grip on her hair tightened, his fingers almost bruising. Perfect.
I'll never get enough of you.
Everywhere. Fill me everywhere. Take me. Claim me. Yes. Please, yes! The sound of bare flesh slapping together echoed in the tiled bathroom, and he growled.
Tell me. Tell me you love it, baby.
I love it.
Tell me you love my cock.
She gasped as his powerful thrust jarred her body, sending her into space. I love your cock. Oh, fuck. Your big, hard cock. Don't stop. Don't stop.
I love when you beg, baby. When you shock me with your smart mouth. This is my addiction. The smell of you. The feel of you.
His hips slammed against hers, holding nothing back.
Nothing else matters but this. Only this. This is mine.
She was coming. Coming so hard her body started to shake and her muscles went limp. He was the only thing holding her up as she leaned her forehead against the mirror. Brandon called her name, but then pulled out with a garbled shout, releasing his grip on her. Aziza spun around dizzily, reaching for him with hands still shaking from the force of the orgasm rippling through her. Her hand covered his fist, and she bent and wrapped her lips around him, sucking his flesh desperately against the roof of her mouth. Brandon. His taste. In her. Around her. Everything. Nothing else.
Jesus, baby. Yes.
Brandon growled, his hand tangling in her hair again as he rocked his hips forward.
Don't stop. I don't want this to fucking end.
She sucked his shaft and licked the head, greedy for every last drop of him, loving the flavor, salt and man and her. Brandon. She moaned when his penis hardened again, flushed with need and still wet with her climax. She loved how he matched her. Need for need, he was always ready for more. More.
Look at what you do to me, Aziza,
he groaned, stepping back to lean against the wall and taking her with him, the fingers of one hand tightening on her hair again while the other traced her lips, gathering his essence on his fingertips. He moved them up to trace the side of her flushed face, more of an animal marking his territory than a tender caress.
I'll take you any fucking way I can get you. In the lieu of a bloody kink club, in an alley, anywhere, anytime you'll let me. Ah, yeah, harder. Did you suck him like that, baby? Is that why he can't stay away?
The shock of his words made Aziza pull away instinctively. He wrapped his arms around her and held her close.
Please don't stop, Aziza. I need you. Tell me you want more. Tell me you want me.
How could she deny it when she felt the same panicked need for him? As if it were the first time, or the last. I want you, Brandon. I always want you. He kissed her again, his tongue battling with hers while his hands dropped to her bare hips and he lifted her high against him. Aziza wrapped her legs around his waist and moaned in surprise when he slipped his arms underneath her thighs, tilting her hips higher. His fingers spread the cheeks of her ass, and she felt the head of his erection pushing between them. She lifted her lips and gasped, "Here?" He'd never taken her like this before, face to face as he filled her ass, lowering her onto his cock until he was deep, until he was all the way inside. Brandon. He didn't say a word and didn't look away from her. His lips were open, so close to hers, but he didn't kiss her. He breathed with her as he slowly lifted and lowered her onto his shaft. Aziza's body was shaking. She sighed out a groan against his lips as she felt every inch of him, every ridge of his shaft inside her, stretching her, owning her, achingly slow, painfully intimate. He did this to her, Brandon, always Brandon.
Oh, God, Brandon, she moaned low in her throat.
You don't have to tell me, he whispered. I knew what you want, Aziza. Give me what I need.
He'd said that the first night he touched her. The memory flooded her body with heat. His breathing was ragged.
Fuck. I can feel you squeezing me so tight, baby. I can't hold on much longer. Touch yourself and come for me.
She pressed her forehead against his cheek and slipped her hand down between them, rubbing her clit as his grip on her hips tightened, and he sped up his thrusts.
Aziza. My Aziza. So good.
The fire inside her rose up swiftly as she climaxed. She could feel it under the surface of her skin. The power. The force of it. Passion fuels the fireborn. But she could control it. Even when she heard his primal shout and felt him come inside her, even when he kissed her again as if he were dying and she was his oxygen, his heart. They held each other for long, silent moments until their bodies stopped shaking and he lowered her to the floor, still holding her close as if she were fragile, precious.
I've claimed you, Aziza Jane.
He spoke so softly she could barely hear his words.
In every way I can.
In the only way he ever could. Because she was fireborn and he was a werewolf. Because they weren't supposed to be together. His duty and her treaty both agreed. Because he couldn't stop protecting her, and she couldn't be what he wanted. She was terrified of how much she needed him, how lost she was whenever he touched her. Maybe it was better that he couldn't actually claim her. She wasn't sure she would ever be able to resist him. She wouldn't be able to say no. And in the end, she would hurt him even more. Moving to the sink, Brandon turned the faucet on and let the water drench his fingers before placing them between her thighs. Cool, tender, perfect. He dried her off, dabbing her gently with a rough paper towel before tugging her dress back down over her hips. She had no idea where her thong had ended up. He washed himself as she straightened her clothes, still trying to recover while the words kept repeating in her head over and over again. He knew. He knew.
You knew about Ram.
When he looked at her, Aziza could see his eyes glowing nearly gold.
Of course I knew. I always knew. Why do you think I hated the way you protected him? Hell, I actually resented the bastard for saving Penn's life because I knew he would use it to his advantage.
He shook his head, a lost expression stealing over his features.
Or at least I thought he would take advantage of that. But he didn't, did he? Not even when he could have.
When she just looked at him, his jaw hardened.
Everything in me says that you should be mine, only mine, that no one else should have you. If I'd acknowledged his presence, what I am would have demanded satisfaction, blood.
Aziza wanted to scream, to hit him, to cry at how wrong she'd been.
All this time and you never said a word? I thought you would, that I couldn't tell you. You hate Jin. You hate Ram. I don't even know what I want.
He reached for her and then froze, his head tilted to the side.
Shit,
he swore, pushing past her and unlocking the bathroom door.
Aziza, we're going to finish this conversation.
The door swung open and Aziza saw a handful of women in various states of undress, sending her knowing smiles. One of them stepped inside and headed to the nearest stall as Brandon disappeared without another word.
He is a big boy, isn't he? I don't blame you, but there are other rooms for that sort of thing.
He'd locked the door. She hadn't known, the sneaky devil.
I'm sorry. We got carried away.
Carried away. They'd had mind-blowing sex in the Underbridge bathroom that she still hadn't recovered from. He'd claimed her. Brandon Nash was her drug, and she was addicted to the way he made her feel. As long as he was touching her, nothing else mattered. Sex wasn't the problem. Their chemistry was never in question. but it didn't make their problems go away. She wished it could. There were things she wanted to share with him. About the Alpha, Chev, West, and Dern. About her ability to see into the Djinn and Nier worlds. He already knows about Ram. Aziza sighed. She really wasn't very good girlfriend material for Brandon. It had always seemed, she saw it with new clarity, that she had something to hide with him. That she wasn't good enough for him. That he wasn't enough for what was inside her, what she was becoming. The sound of sobbing grew louder on the other side of the door, breaking through the chatter of the new arrivals doing their makeup and straightening their clothes. All the women, including Aziza, turned toward the bathroom entrance. The door crashed open, and Aziza recognized the short, dark-haired woman as one of the Kewpies. She was crying hysterically.
"Tabitha, what happened?"
"Aziza," she whimpered, wiping her hands against her cheeks, her mascara leaving dark trails down her face.
"That's your name, isn't it?"
Aziza moved closer, carefully.
"Tabitha, what happened? Where are your friends?"
"Blade,"
she started before taking a gasping breath, her body bending forward as if someone had punched her in the stomach.
"I heard Detective Stanton say Blade was dead. She was here less than an hour ago. I thought I was going to be sick. I don't know what to do."
"No!"
Aziza whispered harshly as the women around them gasped in shock. No. Blade couldn't be dead. The sassy redhead who'd wanted Ram to play a scene with her wasn't dead. Ram hadn't touched her. Aziza hadn't felt nauseated or seen anything. The Fireborn was supposed to protect Blade.
"No!"
She left the bathroom and the sobbing Tabitha to the others who'd circled protectively around her. Detective Stanton had told her? She'd been here all this time while Brandon seduced her in the bathroom and told her everything she'd secretly wanted to hear? He hadn't mentioned Natalie. "Stop," she scolded herself. "This isn't about you and Brandon. It's about Blade." She paused in the hallway when she heard the sound of raised voices on the other side of the wall. She knew those voices. Both of them. While Brandon had found her, Natalie had obviously found Ram.
"Get out of my way, Calbu," Ram sneered, "and teach your bitch better manners. I don't respond well to threats." "No one is threatening you, exile," Brandon told him. "And you shouldn't have come in, Natalie. I told you I had this covered. Djinn, I can't promise that I can hold her back for long, but since we're both here, I'm going to need you to cooperate. We already know you played with the first three victims."
"Everyone knows, Enforcer," Ram responded carelessly. "There aren't many here I haven't done something to. I'm popular. Anything else, or can I go now?"
"Stupid, stupid idiot." Aziza pressed her forehead against the wall with a silent groan. Ram knew exactly what to say to piss Brandon off, to force his hand. Brandon growled, and another higher-pitched rumble joined them.
"And the fourth?"
Natalie snarled loudly enough for Aziza to hear.
"Did you get tired of taking your time, or did Blade find out about you? What did the Jania promise you? A retain of your abilities if you supplied them with fresh meat? Or did you offer them the vessel? Is she next on your list?"
Ram swore.
"What the hell are you talking about?"
Aziza had heard enough. More than enough. Striding around the corner, she snarled.
"Brandon! Do you remember the woman you just left in the bathroom? The one who told you the truth? The one you said you trusted? Yeah, she's a little pissed. What exactly are you accusing him of? Another Janir murder you conveniently forgot to tell me about?"
Ram, who'd been leaning in a careless pose against the wall, smiled sharply.
"Sweet, naive Aziza. Did you honestly believe he could resist what he is?
but I don't need any help with the dogs. Even with this, he lifted his wrist cuff, I could take care of them both.
Natalie curled her lip at him in warning, and Brandon uttered an unintelligible command in her direction before speaking slowly to Aziza.
I told her to wait outside. Natalie, keep your voice down.
Why? His partner challenged. What more proof could you possibly need, Bran? I knew the woman in the alley. I spoke to Blade more than once. His scent is on her, and at my count that is now 4 bodies, sir. What are your orders?
No!
Aziza knew her voice was loud enough to turn heads. Even over the throbbing music, she didn't care. She held out her hands in a threatening gesture as if she were about to ignite her abilities, and Natalie tensed.
There are no orders, Nat, so get your hand off Ram, or I swear to you I will burn the flesh off your long, pretty bones. Bran knows I'm not lying.
Brandon's eyes were gold again, tormented. She could see it in the way every muscle in his body rippled, his expression.
This is an official investigation, Aziza. There is another dead body in the alley not a half kilometer from here, and there are penalties for resisting, questioning.
There can't be.
She felt like she was drowning.
Blade can't be dead, Brandon. I was protecting her.
She is.
He took a step toward her, then stopped, glancing back at Natalie and swearing.
But not like the others. Her throat was slashed and her body was left in an alley off a busy street. It's nothing like the others. But Natalie is right. She smells like Ram.
Aziza shook her head, as if it would make his words disappear.
No,
she whispered. She saw Ram through her damp lashes. His face was pale.
He didn't do it, Brandon. You can't take him.
Then stop me, Aziza,
he said, the meaning in his harshly spoken words clear.
Try and stop me.
Stop.
Chapter 11. Aziza whirled on her heel and ran back toward the bathrooms, careful not to touch any of the human statues frozen in the hall. When she saw the person she was looking for, she gripped her shoulder.
Tabitha! Tabitha, talk to me!
Tabitha blinked in confusion when she saw Aziza in front of her.
I thought you left.
I did.
Tabitha looked around the room at the women bent over sinks and reaching for hand towels, all of them appearing to have been stopped mid-action. Then she screamed. Aziza grabbed both her shoulders and shook her.
Damn it.
She supposed she should have been expecting this reaction.
Tabitha, it's okay. Stop screaming. Please, it's okay.
How can it be okay? Do you see them? They're not moving. No one is moving. Why aren't they moving? What's happening?
I'm moving, Tabitha.
West pushed the door open and smiled gently.
I'm right here talking to you. Everything is going to be all right. You know me, right?
West,
Tabitha whimpered, looking between the two of them with large, frightened eyes.
Is it just in here? Are people moving outside?
She pushed past West and peered around the open bathroom door. Aziza heard her high-pitched squeak and knew she could see the people locked in position down the hallway.
Grab her, West!
He caught her just before she bolted and brought her around to face Aziza again.
Tabitha, honey, I know this is hard to understand, but Aziza needs you to talk for a minute.
She jerked away from him and eyed Aziza suspiciously.
Did you drug me? Am I hallucinating?
A flash of hope lit her eyes and made Aziza's heart ache.
I'm dreaming. This is just a dream, isn't it? I'm sleeping and you're taking advantage of me.
Aziza cupped her shoulders again and shook her head.
I'm so sorry, Tabitha, but I need you to focus.
Tabitha paled.
Are you vampires?
What? Aziza sighed and tightened her grip on the shaking woman. That wasn't as crazy a question as it would have been a few months ago.
No vampires here, I promise. Everything is going to be okay, but I need you to talk to me. You said Blade was here less than an hour ago, right?
Yes.
What was she doing before she left? Why did she leave?
Tabitha sniffed hard and sent Aziza a strange look.
Are you dating Ram?
Aziza took a breath.
No. No vampires, no drugs, and I'm not dating Ram. Please, it's important.
I'm only wondering because she asked if she could talk to him in private, and they went upstairs. She told Foreplay she was going to see if he would negotiate for a private edge play scene. She didn't think you would mind.
Great. Knives again. So that's where Ram had been when she arrived. Why had he waited so long before coming back down? Aziza glanced at West, but he shook his head.
I didn't see them. As far as I know, the only thing he was planning on doing tonight was talking to you.
Tabitha sniffled again.
He said no, she confirmed. He was mean about it, too. Told her to stay as far away from him as she could get, and that he didn't do that anymore.
Blade said she was just tired when she left, but Foreplay told me we should follow her.
She started to cry again. We should have, but I wanted to stay and watch tonight's demo. If I'd been a better friend, she'd still be alive.
No.
West bent down until he was looking into Tabitha's eyes.
If you'd left with her, you might be dead, too. There was no way for you to know what was going to happen.
Aziza let Tabitha go and ran her hands through her hair. That was why Blade had smelled like Ram, and why Blade wasn't far from the club when she was killed. She'd been rejected, and then she'd been killed. Why hadn't Aziza sensed it? She turned to West.
West, it's been nice knowing you, but I think I need to get Ram out of the country. At least until I can figure out what the Janir are up to now. This wasn't another blood ritual gone wrong. This was a sloppy but convincing frame-up, and it was a mistake they will regret.
It was personal in so many ways. She felt sick with grief and shame that while she'd been with Brandon in the bathroom, reveling in pleasure, an innocent woman who had held her and comforted her just the other day was dying, her throat slashed. She should have sensed it.
Blood ritual?
Tabitha's voice was thready and shaking.
Is that what happened to the other girls? Devil worship or something? We never saw the bodies, but there were rumors about them being caught up. Oh, God, Blade. I should have kept her here.
Fuck. Aziza looked back over at her witness.
I'm sorry, Tabitha. I've never done this before and I suck at it. You didn't need to hear that.
She'd never actually used Myatt's witness on a witness before. And the way Tabitha was reacting, she may never do it again. The poor girl was traumatized.
It's going to be okay. You were right. This is probably just a dream. It is too crazy not to be, right? West and I are going to go now, and you should go upstairs and lie down for about...
Her voice faded as she tried desperately to think about how much time she would need to get a Ram statue far enough away from Underbridge to be safe from the enforcers. West saw her dilemma.
Let's say 40 minutes, Aziza Jane. If you really want to do this, I have a plan.
Aziza thought about Brandon. He was giving her a chance, a head start. Even after all he knew, all the evidence and his feelings about Ram, even after she admitted everything. God, why did this make this so much harder?
I want to do this, West. We're all he has. We can't let him down.
She couldn't let him or Chai down. She'd failed Blade. she couldn't fail them. Tabitha edged her way around them and backed out of the bathroom, shaking her head.
What are you? What are you?
She ran away screaming, and Aziza didn't react until she felt West's fingers on her chin, closing her mouth.
She'll be okay, Aziza. She'll convince herself she had a breakdown and she'll be better by morning. The best way we can help her is to get all the angry wolf people and our unlucky djinn out of her sight.
Aziza let him take her arm and walk her back down the hall toward Ram, Greg, and Chai.
It never crossed my mind, she muttered. The screaming. I wasn't expecting it. Brandon didn't scream the first time it happened with him. Then again, one of his best friends had just been murdered.
West's laugh was grim.
Werewolves have to act tough, Fireborn. If it makes you feel any better, I'm sure that secretly he was terrified.
Nothing was going to make her feel any better. She'd failed to save another innocent. What was the point of all this power if she couldn't save anyone?
The Keeper's Child can guide you.
She sighed.
I hope wherever you're taking us, there's tequila.
Stop thinking so hard, Aziza Jane. You're going to hurt yourself.
West smiled gently, mixing a batch of tequila cocktails at the kitchen counter while she watched him from the other side of the bar. He'd taken them to an ordinary-looking flat only a few blocks from Underbridge, a keeper's safe house, and she thought nothing could surprise her anymore. She was just grateful it had been close, and that her mental magic eight ball had told her she could use the witness ability twice, so she could release Greg even though she'd already talked to Tabitha. He and West carried Ram and Chai the entire way. Greg hadn't minded, but Aziza had to smile when she thought about all the swearing West had done with Ram slung over his shoulder. She glanced down at her now empty palm.
Are you absolutely sure they can't find us?
Unless I go outside and light a few flares, we're good. This is no ordinary hideaway.
West shrugged.
Though it's not unique for us. We have several, more than any one of us at one time were allowed to know about, spread all over the world.
She looked at the walls, seeing no gold, no iron. He followed her gaze and laughed.
We don't need medieval tricks with metal to hide ourselves, Aziza. We have Mayette on our side. Her black sand was either sealed into the foundation of this building as it was being built, or cooked into the bricks. It varies. Keeper's children with a talent for building can see where there will be a need long before it happens and plan accordingly. Trust me, this house is well hidden from djinn and near.
What about the enforcers?
They were the only ones she was worried about now. Ram was upstairs, the last one in the shower. West had offered them each a change of clothes when they arrived. Yet more sweatpants and t-shirts that were exactly their size. Someone must have known they were coming. West handed her a glass and took one for himself.
I'm no gardener, but I understand certain trees and flowering bushes, cultivated carefully over centuries, have properties that disrupt a werewolf's sense of smell. You saw them as you came in, and they've been scattered around the neighborhood so they're not obvious. Take a drink and relax. For the first time in months, you can truly relax without using your powers. You don't have to call on the Mayette. You don't have to be fireborn, and you don't have to hide. You can just be.
She looked over her shoulder. That thought was too tempting, but it was the last thing she could do. Blade was dead.
Where are our roommates?
West took a sip of his drink, watching her closely over the rim of the glass.
I asked Chai to show Greg the lower tunnel rooms while you and I, and Ram, as soon as he works up the nerve to come down the stairs to join us, have a talk. Greg needed some convincing, and I doubt she'll be able to keep him away from you for long. He's worried about you, but it might be long enough.
Her head whipped around at that.
Tunnels? Your magical Brigadoon flat also has tunnels?
His lips quirked. Safe house. Keepers take these things very seriously. You'll see them later.
Now you have questions for me. Important questions that will come to you as I tell you more about myself. Please, Aziza. Trust me.
She didn't want to ask any more questions. She didn't want to know anything else.
I'm here to help you, Aziza Jane, he assured her. That is my purpose. Visions from the Mayet are sacred and can never be denied. Not if we are all to continue under her protection.
He spoke casually, as if he were talking about the weather.
I'm to be at the center of unfolding events, protecting what is most important as I stand by the side of the Fireborn.
Aziza blinked. Wow, that sounds
pompous, self-important.
You said it, not me.
He shrugged. I told my parents it was their fault for giving me such a big name.
I'm assuming West is short for something.
Augustus, Elam, Uriel, West. She choked, and West's shoulders shook with silent laughter. And that is why I don't share my whole name with just anyone. Not that I'm embarrassed by it. My father named me very carefully and with the best intentions. He used to tell me, a keeper's child must walk through the world for the most part unseen. So our names, if not our actions, should be memorable. I think if they'd known where my visions would take me, they would have chosen a simpler name, like John.
He straightened and unbuttoned his shirt, dropping it carelessly to the floor so she could see his chest. Aziza swallowed. No man should be this attractive. And no woman with any decency would notice. Not now. Not at a time like this. He smiled.
Don't make this awkward. I'm not coming on to you. I just wanted to find something out. Some of these tattoos are just ink, but this...
He ran his hand over the scars on his chest.
This is my armor, the baptisms I was telling you about. The Mayet dwells beneath our skin, concealing us and revealing our future as we watch, as we wait. The Zaman herself is covered with scars from her forehead to the soles of her feet, but she did it willingly, to watch after the Fireborn line. To observe your destiny.
She swallowed. What did you want to find out? He took her hand and placed her fingertips on the ridges. She could feel the sand. The small grains beneath the raised skin come alive at her touch and move closer.
Damn.
West closed his eyes and tilted his head back.
I wasn't sure that would happen. Can you feel it, Aziza Jane? Like is drawn to like.
She could. The sand in her blood was drawn to him. An electrical current flowed between them where her fingers touched his skin. A communication. A connection she couldn't deny. This was more than a zap of static. That small shock she'd felt each time he'd touched her hand or her shoulder. Her entire body was responding to this one simple touch.
How did I not know as soon as we met? Why didn't it feel this strong before?
He covered her hand with his, holding her there, his eyes darkening.
You, my freckled Fireborn, already had your hands full when we met. A werewolf who would claim you if he could, though he doesn't yet understand what you need, and you don't trust what he is. A djinn who risked all he's ever known because even death and exile was preferable to seeing hate in your eyes. A friend who's loved you all your life, who will push his own life and happiness aside to protect you because of his destiny, his connection to our shared fate, and of course, the search for your brother and the other vials.
He'd moved closer, still holding her hand against his chest when she jerked in surprise at his words and tried to pull away.
You see too much, Augustus.
I see you. Aziza Jane Stewart, he corrected. As I've told you, since I was a child, I've seen impossibly big eyes the color of sapphires and full of sadness. I used to cry for those sad eyes. I wanted to make you smile.
Like her old Jen Karen, he'd felt sorry for her. She tugged her hand away from his skin and stood.
I don't need pity from anyone.
Compassion isn't pity.
He stepped away and dropped his hand, and she instantly felt the loss. There are people around you who love you. People around you who wish to use you. People who fear you. But you are the only one who feels pity for your plight. The only one who refuses to accept the choices you made that brought you here. His words were like a slap in the face. The truth. She had been feeling sorry for herself. At all she'd lost, and all she could lose because of the actions she'd taken tonight.
West, can you see how Brandon is reacting to what I did? What will happen?
I told you, my cousin works at the psychic hotline. Aziza looked up at him, her eyes drawn to his somber smile. In my experience, matters of the heart are fluid. Visions change with every decision we make about love. You have to live it to truly know what's going to happen. But whatever comes tomorrow, you should take comfort in the fact that Brandon's decision tonight was obviously made for you.
Why are you helping Ram so willingly? Did you know he'd be set up?
She took another sip of her drink, feeling the heat reach her belly and begin to relax her tense muscles. I knew bad was on its way. I saw blood and you and Ram at the center, asking for my help.
Did you see Chai in those visions?
West frowned in surprise. No. Aziza, did you see something about Chai?
Aziza rubbed her aching temple. I didn't see anything. I have dreams. I hear things sometimes. The Mayette, I guess. The other day it said, under the bridge, another will be chosen for the bloodletting. Still another will be betrayed, with no power to resist. Both are the Fireborns to protect. Her breath shuddered out of her. Blade was chosen. I had a feeling that she and Chai were the two I needed to protect. I thought if Ram didn't play with her, then...
If I hadn't refused her so cruelly... Ram interrupted quietly from the kitchen doorway. She wouldn't have left on her own.
Aziza put down her drink, stood up and walked over to him without a word, wrapping her arms around him. It's not your fault.
It is. His voice was grim. I gave them the opening. I was the hard player with a reputation for being skilled in every brand of kink, including blades. I was the one stepping over the line and wallowing in my role as embittered exile, instead of the Karen at the Fireborn's side, powers or not.
It was an opening they'd used not just against Ram, but against her and Brandon as well. It had fractured all of them, separated them, and forced her to take sides. Brandon had known she was going to save Ram. In fact, she had no doubt that he'd wanted her to. But now that she had, she wondered if that was it for them. If there was any way they could be together now that she'd use her vessel abilities to thwart Enforcer justice and save Ajin. Ram took her arms in his hands and stepped back to look at her.
West?
Yes, sir.
Did I hear right? A keeper?
Aziza could hear the smile in West's voice.
I've always been told Jin have excellent hearing.
Ram sucked in his lip and nodded, still looking at Aziza.
I need to talk to you for a minute.
I'll make us all a tray of food and more drinks, West said from behind her. Aziza and I have something we need to do tonight, but you should have enough time to talk before the others come back upstairs.
Ram took her into the small living room, this one containing none of the toys West's townhome enjoyed, and sat down beside her on the couch.
We have a lot to talk about, but first you need to know why I went to Underbridge tonight.
West said you had to tell me something.
He nodded. I was also up in my room, before and after Blade left, screaming at the walls for someone to hear me, to tell Chev I needed to talk to her.
She reached for his hands. What is it, Ram? What's happened?
His expression scared her. That is what I need to know. I looked through the bag Chev gave to you and found two things that shook me to the core. A note from my sister warning me about traitors and begging me to stay close to the Fireborn. She wrote it in the code we'd come up with when she was young. The one she used to send me letters when I first moved to the Warriors' barracks.
I also found another book, a forbidden book. There is no way Chev would have touched it, could have touched it, let alone given it to me.
Aziza's head was spinning. What are you talking about?
This particular book is the only one of its kind. It was locked away in a vault over 1,000 years ago. I didn't mention it before because I had forgotten about it. It was never to see sunlight again, since it contained the most thorough, unburied account of the last blood ritual. A story handed down from father to son and printed before anyone knew what it truly contained.
And that was in your bag?
When he nodded, she swore under her breath.
The Janir have been so determined to set you up as being connected to them, to the first 3 ritualistic murders, that it makes me think that Chev and I must have been wrong. It can't just be about hurting me or separating me from Brandon. There has to be more. Everything pointed to you. Underbridge, a particular type of girl with no family to speak of, a particular type of play, knives. And now this book about blood rituals that no one should have, all wrapped up in a bow in your bag. Why can't they see that it's too perfect to be anything but a setup?
Ram shook his head. Whoever put it in there without Chev noticing had to have been someone who didn't draw suspicion. Someone who knows her. Someone with friends in the highest halls of Kaf. She couldn't have known, but she must have suspected something was wrong. I believe she must have instructed Hanya to write that note to warn me of her suspicions. He swore. If that book were discovered to be in my possession, the Djinn might kill me themselves and anyone who learned of it, whether or not the wolves had gotten a hold of me. But what reason other than you would they have to put me in the Enforcer's path? I am just a soldier. An exiled soldier.
You're my Karen. That was enough reason to kill the others.
She blew out a frustrated breath.
But what happened tonight? It doesn't fit. Brandon said Blade had her throat cut and she was left in an alley. Nothing like the other killings at all, except it still pointed to you.
I turned her down, Ram reminded her. Maybe if I hadn't, they would have followed their pattern. I made a different choice, and they had to change their plans.
He took his hands from hers and clenched them into fists.
I don't know, Aziza. We're missing something. But until we figure out what it is, we must protect the book with our lives, or destroy it. From what little I read, it is the closest the Janir will get to the perfect recipe for any blood ritual, including soul casting.
Something horrible occurred to her, and she pressed a hand to her chest at the pain it caused, at the panic that seized her. What if Chev is in danger? Whoever gave her that book might know she was growing suspicious. Might want to tie up loose ends before we can tell her. What if she's already dead?
Getting off the couch, Ram knelt down in front of Aziza and tried to reach for her, but she shook her head, pushing him away.
No! I should know what to do. I'm fireborn. I'm supposed to be justice. People are not supposed to die around me. How do I fix this? Go out into the street and scream her name? Try to force open a door again? I can't lose anybody else, Ram. Not you, not Brandon, not even Tay. I can't do it.
Breathe, Aziza. Listen to me, I understand. You know I understand. I never believed I could live without my connection to Chev. My center. The place in my heart where a cord is found.
Ram's gentle, familiar words sent tears streaming down her cheeks.
She was more than family to me. She was a piece of my heart. And when I dove into the water, I knew the instant she'd made her decision to sever our bond. I could feel it as if I'd been gutted. I kept breathing, my limbs kept pushing me forward, but it was like dying.
He caressed her hair, pushing it out of her face, behind her ears.
For a while I hated you. Hated poor innocent Pen. Hated Chev. I didn't know what I was, who I was. I had no direction or hope that any was coming.
He laughed.
That's a lie. I had hope. In you. You never stopped. You didn't nag or lecture. You didn't judge, and you certainly didn't lie and declare your undying love for me to fool me out of the darkness. You took me to your damn circus school instead. You showed up to watch me take out my sexual frustrations on other women. You were just there. Ram kissed her forehead so lightly, she almost missed the caress. Then one day I woke up and realized that the pain wasn't quite as deep. I didn't hate everyone. Chev is still there, you see. Even though the bond is broken, I'd had it. I'd learned to be a better djinn from watching her. To look for truth when the lie is easier to believe. To be strong. I'd like to think I taught her how to be more irreverent. How to laugh. Something she never did as a child before our spirits merged. I know in my heart where our link used to be, that she is still alive. Aziza sniffed and bent down to kiss his forehead in return.
I think you're special all on your own, but don't let that go to your head.
Ram closed his eyes as if reveling in the innocent kiss. If you hadn't distracted me, I would have come up with a moral to my story that would have tied things up perfectly. Never interrupt a story. We'll let that be the moral. Aziza couldn't believe she was smiling, no matter that her lips were still trembling.
I think the moral is obvious. Love never goes away. As long as we remember it, it exists.
Now she was quoting Tay. Love never went away, but people did. She didn't want memories or mental recordings. She had too many of those already. Too much lost love. She wanted the real thing.
The story doesn't tell us what to do. Doesn't tell us how to get that book we're supposed to protect with our lives either. Or the one that tells me what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
She had left the journal Dern had given her at Penn's.
Did somebody order a bag of books?
Greg!
Aziza spun around and then ran to him. He dropped the bag and opened his arms, lifting her up in his strong, comforting embrace. Home. His arms always felt like home and family. She needed that now, and he didn't hesitate to oblige. He never did.
I'm here, babe. It's okay. It's going to be okay, he murmured, as if soothing a child.
Aziza buried her face in his neck, and he rocked back and forth on his heels, holding her close.
I called, and Hillary is at the flat to protect Penn. Devil should be there by now, too, since he came in for the party I'm now even more excited about going to. And did you know there are tunnels that lead all over the town?
A dainty, feminine hand rubbed small, gentle circles on her back. Chai.
At least, one that goes back to our place in Soho. We picked up a few things, including Ram's bag. West said he would need it.
I also brought Adam's pictures. I showed them to Chai, but we can talk about that later.
When Ram moved out of the way, Greg carried her into a small living room and sat down with her in his lap. Then Chai covered her with an afghan, her expression tender. Greg lifted one hand from her to grip Chai's gently.
Thank you, Chai.
In reaction, Chai blushed and ducked her head.
You're welcome.
Greg noticed Aziza watching and grinned ruefully before pulling her closer, shifting until she was settled more fully on his lap.
Get comfortable. Now it's time for St. King Greg to get caught up. West sees the future? Something about sand. Did you ask him where Joseph is? If he knows more about the treaty or the Janir? If he knows what will happen if you find Adam's vial and take it?
All good questions, West said as he joined them, his shirt off, revealing his scars to Greg's fascinated gaze, most of which she already knows the answer to, after someone guided her to the right source. She would have told you all of this by now, but you've been understandably distracted.
He set a platter full of tumblers and a plate of sliced cheese and grapes on the coffee table.
We should have another drink and take it slow. Chai needs to be caught up so she doesn't feel left out.
Let's have it then,
Chai smiled, kneeling on the floor at Greg's feet with her hand on Aziza's knees.
You know I love stories.
Her eyes were red, more tears. Hearing about Blade had affected her far more than realizing she'd moved from one location to another in what must have seemed to her like less than the blink of an eye. Aziza hesitated. Should Chai be hearing this if she was only human? Would it scare her the way it had Tabitha?
Chai,
I'm not sure you want to know.
Stand up, Aziza. West spoke quietly but confidently. Stand up right there in front of the fireplace and show her who you are. You have enough control. Show her. Trust me, she won't disappoint you.
Aziza climbed out of Greg's lap reluctantly and stood, watching the woman she was becoming friends with, watching all of them.
Show her, Aziza, Ram murmured.
Don't be afraid, she muttered, looking down at her hands.
Burn.
Chai squeaked and dropped her glass on the carpet.
Huck up! But that's brilliant is what it is! Beautiful!
Aziza smiled slightly at her excitement, looking down at her hands which were now covered in blue-white flame.
It's something.
You're reacting better than I did, Greg laughed. Of course, we had no idea what she was at the time.
Aziza turned and sent a small burst of power into the fireplace, instantly sparking the logs that were piled neatly inside before focusing on turning down her flame.
Hot air balloons. Flying. Chai on the aerial hoop.
When did this woman she hardly knew become her happy thought?
It looks cool, but Aziza Jane has suffered because of this, West told Chai. The people who killed her family, her parents and her brothers, and the people who killed Stacy and the others. They want to use her, and their desire could kill millions of people, destroy worlds. That's why we have to protect her, keep her secret.
I understand, Chai frowned in irritation. Well, I don't completely understand, but I'm not an idiot, West, and I've kept your secret well enough.
She looked over at Aziza again and smiled.
Sisters, then.
Aziza breathed a sigh of relief.
Sisters.
I know you can keep a secret, he responded, and now Aziza does too.
He raised his voice.
Can Ram?
Ram was sitting on the floor opposite the couch watching Aziza. He glanced over at West and smiled.
I can. There are few things the Jinn and Nier agree on. Fear of the Keeper line is one of them. It's something they can't observe, can't control. The Maiat's secret. You are an unknown element in our eternal chess match.
West's grin was infectious.
And doesn't that just make you like me more?
Ram snorted.
I have to admit it does. Is my word good for you?
West sobered.
You wouldn't be here if I didn't know you could be trusted. Exile or Jinn warrior, I trust you with my life. How can I disagree with the Keeper's vision? You can't.
West leaned back in his chair.
The Zaman, who sees more of the future than I could ever hope to, knew these events would unfold.
He began, his southern drawl hypnotic.
Time is the river she navigates, and in that river all points converged on the one destined to embrace everything the Maiat had to offer. One woman who would face death in his own house, whose existence would bring us full circle after thousands of years. Those are her words, not mine. I had to memorize them as a child.
Dern says it's not about destiny, Aziza said quietly. It's about choice.
Who is Dern?
Greg's words sounded slightly slurred. Strange.
And if she always knew it would be Aziza, why did she send the sand to her brothers?
To allow the chain of events to unfold as they had to, West answered, his voice warmth and whiskey. Peaceful. Some destined events cannot be changed by choice, no matter how difficult they are to face. There was no future when Emma Stewart and Zayed Amu could remain together to love each other and raise their children in peace. No future where Tariq and Adam survived. No choice but to give Aziza the chance to fulfill her destiny. The sand was sent for her to find. It was a convenient excuse for those waiting in the shadows to act. Aziza's legs gave out, and she dropped to her knees, the fire warm against her back. No future where they survived.
The Mayette said Joseph is being hidden to protect me.
West's voice lowered in sympathy. Azeezah Jane, hidden sounds like alive to me. You knew it weeks ago, and now you are sure. Take comfort in that, if nothing else. Would you really want him to be found when so many eyes are focused on you? He has no way to protect himself. They will use him against you.
Looking for him is selfish.
She didn't need to use her abilities to understand what he was saying. Her head began to throb and the room was starting to sway slightly as she caught a scent in the fire.
What is that smell?
Incense. West sounded farther away. It's a family recipe. I should warn you, it has a potent effect.
Dern mentioned incense in the keepers, but I don't have the incantation. I left it at Penn's with the other books.
Azeezah waited passively as he knelt down beside her and guided her body until she was facing him in front of the fire. Then she studied his chest again. The marks.
Did you drug us, West?
I knew you would ask me that. Maybe, but I'm still not a vampire, no matter what Tabitha thinks.
He reached for her hand and placed it on his scars, hissing through his teeth.
I saw this. Your near Karen pointing you in the right direction, the direction we wanted her to. But as much as you love to read, Dern relies too much on his old notes and journals. You don't need an incantation. You need to get out of your own way. Your scene with Ram helped bring her to the surface, but the fear and doubt, the guilt you continuously cling to, these are all useless emotions that create obstacles to finding what you most need to know. This is how you get there. I can take you.
The Keeper's Child can guide you.
She was hot, roasting. That's it, Azeezah Jane. Let it go.
So you aren't coming on to me?
Definitely not. You are irresistible, it's true, he mused. You shine. It's no surprise they all want you.
You're beautiful, too, Azeezah frowned. Stop flirting.
West bit his lower lip. That's not what tonight is about, but you make it hard to remember.
He glanced over to the others, whom she'd forgotten about.
At least, that's not what tonight is about for us.
What did he mean? Azeezah followed the direction of his gaze and gasped. Greg and Chai had pushed the coffee table out of the way and were stripping off each other's clothes. Right in front of them? Right now?
What are they doing?
I want you, Azeezah.
Ram was sitting in the chair West had vacated, his sweatpants pushed down, and his hand around his deliciously hard erection as he watched her with dilated emerald eyes.
Every time I close my eyes, I see you. I feel you around me, crying out as I fucked you in the garden. I see you screaming my name as I whip you with a dragon tail, and us together on my bed the way we were that night. Just watching each other come. I want you any way I can get you, whatever makes you burn.
Oh my God!
West caressed her hand where it rested on his chest.
There was no other choice. The incense in the fire contains the essence of Mayette. It is meant only for those who are joined with the sand, keepers and fireborn. I have found it simply erases others' inhibitions completely, shows us the desires that lurk beneath the surface.
He'd found? Have you done this before?
Do I look like a saint to you? He nodded at Chai. Look at how happy our girl is. I hope they stay together. Love and friendship could save her.
Our girl.
She had to protect her. Azeezah looked back at the couple and her eyes widened. Chai was naked, stunning on her hands and knees, her head thrown back, facing Azeezah as Greg knelt beside her and spanked her with a firm, cupped hand.
Yes, Chai cried. Yes, please.
Greg hummed his appreciation.
I would love to see you tied up on this floor, showing everyone how beautifully you beg for more. She knew she wasn't meant to see this, but she couldn't look away. She'd never imagined Greg as a top.